We continue our series in the seven signs of John, and this morning we're looking at furious love, and we're in John chapter 2, verses 13 and following. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he says, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he spoke of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. He did not need any testimony about humankind, for he knew what was in each person's heart. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we are in a series on the seven signs of John. And I don't know about you, but I often need a sign. And here's some humorous signs that I saw recently that I wanted to share with you. And the first is from a restaurant in New York. "Customers who consider our waitresses uncivil ought to see the manager." Got to think about it. On the wall of a Baltimore estate, "Trespassers will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law." Sign, "Sisters of Mercy." On a long-established New Mexico dry cleaners, 38 years in the same spot. Come on, you got to think a little bit. A Los Angeles dance hall, "Good clean dancing every night but Sunday." And finally, in a Florida maternity ward, "No children allowed." Well, I said, we're in a series on the seven signs of John, and I don't know about you, but many times I need a sign. I need a sign when I get lost, even with my GPS, makes me feel better. I need a sign sometimes, though, for maybe in a relationship, what direction to go. Maybe a sign to help me decide on a wisdom and in a particular situation, or perhaps you need a sign about how to get your relationship right with God or deeper with God. And Lent is just around the corner, as well as Easter, so I hope we're all thinking about that. But we all need signs in life. And for John, who specifically mentioned signs seven times with seven specific incidences, a sign is not just a miracle, but is a miracle with a message, and not just to the people of that day, but also to each and every one of us. And so I hope you'll be thinking about this. Now, this reading this morning is not specifically about a sign, though it refers to a sign, but it does come immediately after Jesus' first sign, which is the sign at the wedding feast that we looked at last week, where you see Jesus getting involved and blessing and abundance coming and making the water into wine, but a more significance about probably the picture of our lives when our lives are empty and need to be overflowing with God's joy. And if we follow Jesus and do what Jesus says, amazing things can happen. But we look at this sign this morning. It's not a sign, but it refers to a sign, which is right after that, and it's an amazing incident. And so I welcome you back with me into Furious Love. And the story is this, that Jesus, after this beautiful ceremony of this couple being married in Cana, Jesus goes to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Passover, which is the biggest feast by far in this time and many times even today. And so people were coming from all over the world to Jerusalem. And Jesus comes into the temple courts, and the temple courts are filled with people. They're not just filled with people, they're filled with cattle and with goats and sheep and doves. And not only the animals and the people, but they're also bartering to exchange money. And it's just this cacophonous noise. And Jesus is furious in this moment, furious love. And Jesus takes a whip that he fashions himself and drives out the animals and the people and says, this needs to be a house of prayer. And for a lot of folks, I think when we're used to looking at Jesus, kind of the meek and mild Jesus, isn't the one we usually look at? I mean, this is like badass Jesus, am I right? So, I don't. Did he really say that? Yep, yeah, I did. Badass Jesus, and I kind of like that. Or if you're kind of the television series Cobra Kai Jesus, if you like that. And after all, Jesus was a carpenter. He was a strong guy. He's a fit young, probably around 30 at this time. And Jesus drives them out. And so Jesus was both tender, but Jesus could also be tough. And the question might be for all of us, I mean, why did Jesus do this in this moment? And I think it's a really important context to all this, which is at this time, people were coming from all over the world. We know that people came from parts of Africa, parts of Asia, probably parts of what is Europe today, and they came down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And for these folks who came from out of the country, they weren't allowed into the Holy of Holies. They weren't allowed into regular worship place, the most holy. There was an area called the Court of the Gentiles, and that was the only place that they were allowed. And this is where this was all taking place. And not only sort of facilitating worship, which were the cattle and the sheep and the doves and what have you, but there was a temple tax that could only be paid with the temple currency. And so people brought currencies, not just from the surrounding countryside and the Roman currency, but they also brought currency from Africa and from all these other countries, and so they were exchanging that. And the people who exchanged it made a great deal of money, but not only that, they bartered it, okay? So it's like haggling at the very best flea market you know of and yelling and all kinds of things. And so Jesus walks in, and the only area where people from other countries, other races and places could worship God is just commotion. It's not the mall. I mean, it's the mall at the worst. Chaos and all this commotion and noise and not people praying. And so Jesus becomes furious in this moment and drives people out. And I think for us, maybe, there's a point of reflection where there's a moment where I think we can look at comfort, and there's a moment maybe where we can see a challenge. And so the comfort first, I think, is this. And the comfort is this. I think for all of us, maybe at some point in our life, maybe we've not felt welcome, whether it's in God's house or, you know, I don't know, some study group, or we just felt like maybe we were pushed away from the welcoming love of Christ. And in this moment, Jesus makes a definitive stand in terms of, you know, getting bare-fisted, bare-knuckled, and drives them out, turns over tables, scatters the money everywhere, and is willing to piss some people off, frankly, in the house of the Lord to stand up and say, this place is a place for everyone, regardless of your race, place, country of origin, language, whatever it is, Jesus is willing to stand up for you. And I know many times in the context of things, I mean, people say, well, you know, do I need to maybe dress up for church, or, you know, am I welcome? And I think in this moment, Jesus is saying everybody is welcome. Doesn't matter about what language you speak. Doesn't matter what culture, race, background, whatever. Doesn't matter if you come with questions from a different place. Jesus is welcoming everyone into this area of worship. And I love, too, that we are part of a number of missions that really make an emphatic statement in that way, in kind of a mission sort of a way. And one is one that we're doing this morning, a special offering is for Grant's House. And, of course, Grant's House is for special needs youth and young adults, and help facilitate their families, too, that they have a place that they can get some extra care. And it's not necessarily religious, but the heart of it is the heart of the gospel, I think. And of course, Grant was very much a part of this church. Love Grant and love Grant's house. And so that's part of our mission and ministry. And also Isaiah 117, which we're going to have a special offering for shortly, for foster kids who are just going into the foster care system, have been through some traumatic event in their life and are displaced. And there's a moment where they can go into a house where they have some loving couples that are taking care of them while they're in transition to a foster home. And of course, all of our youth programs too. Don't get me wrong, every program, I hope, is about God's love. But we go out of our way sometimes to say, everybody is welcome here. And so if you feel like that, hey, Jesus is saying, you are welcome here. And I am willing to not only be tender, but I'm willing to be tough to make a statement about that. And I know, too, I think, you know, in high school, junior high, wherever, you know, we all go through moments. College, my daughter's in college now. It's like, you know, sometimes you just don't feel welcome. It's like, you know, I don't know whether it's bullying or whether it's you feel like people are better friends than you are. And you kind of feel like you're outside. I think Jesus wants to say, you're inside if you're in my house. All of us are inside, whether you've been here for 50 years, third generation or where you just walked into the door for the first time, Jesus wants to say, you're welcome here, and I welcome you with open arms. And if I have to turn over a table or two, then I'm going to do it. So there's the comfort part, but there's also the challenge, I think. And I think the challenge is this, that any of us, all of us, if we've been in God's house for a while, maybe we begin to think, hey, it's my house. And it is. It is. But sometimes maybe we feel like, well, we're a little closer to God than other people. And I think Jesus would look at it and say, listen, this is for everyone, regardless of race or place or country or culture. Everybody is welcome in my house. And we need to remember that. Now, I don't know if you're willing to, you know, turn over some tables. We haven't needed that here. Maybe we need a reminder from time to time. But I think there's other ways that we can welcome people that is a definitive statement, right? And I love the story, true story, of this young college student by the name of John. And John did not grow up in the church. John grew up in a home where people didn't go to church. Never been to church in his life, and he went to college. And he was kind of a student that wore jeans, actually holy jeans, you know, the holy jeans with the holes and tatters in them. And always wore a T-shirt and had long hair and never wore shoes, not even sandals, just a barefoot kind of a kid. And one day he kind of wandered in on a Friday evening to campus ministry. And there in the campus ministry, he began to hear about the love of God, and some students talked to him about it. And he gave his life to Christ. And a life-changing moment, and he started to go to Friday evenings to this campus meeting. And then he joined a Bible study. And then some of the leaders said, well, you know, you ought to think about church on Sunday morning. It's a good thing to continue to grow in your spiritual life. And John said, well, you know, I've never been to church Sunday morning. I've never been to church at all. So he was thinking about it one Sunday, and so he decided what he was going to do was to go to the church across the street from the campus, and he was going to walk there, and he decided he was going to go late because he'd never been to church, and he didn't want to, you know, be the new guy or whatever. So he came to church, and he came late, and he came as he went everywhere. He went with his holy jeans and his T-shirt, long hair, and bare feet, and he opened the doors to the sanctuary, and to his amazement, the place was full. No pandemic. So the place was full. And so he couldn't find a place to sit in the back, which is where he was looking to sit. So he just began to walk down the aisle, and everybody kind of looked at him because it was one of those places where everybody was wearing suits and ties and all that sort of thing. And so he slowly walked down the aisle, couldn't find a place. And so finally, he kind of gave up and just come right down front where he did many of his classes and sat right down on the floor with his bare feet, his jeans, and his T-shirt. And everybody kind of, you know, stopped. The pastor just kept preaching. But there was an elderly deacon in the back and known for being kind of stodgy. And it was older, in his 80s, fairly affluent, always wore a three-piece suit to church with a tie, you know, looked at the nines, and had a really nice cane that he had with, you know, kind of silver lining at the top and everything. And so he began to make his way down the aisle, and everybody's going like, oh boy, this is gonna get ugly here. This deacon's gonna tell this college student how to dress in church. And so this deacon makes his way down the aisle with his cane, and then he finally gets up front. Everybody's kind of holding his breath, including the pastor up front. And then to everybody's amazement, this elderly deacon just lowered himself down and sat on the floor right next to the college student, as if to say, you're welcome here, and I'm willing to sit here and to be here with you just to show you that. And the pastor stopped and said, you know what? The sermon that I'm preaching this morning, you might remember for a week or two, maybe longer, but the sermon you just saw, you'll never forget. And it's really true. So you might not be a bare-knuckles person that turns over tables, but you can make people welcome in lots of ways, just like Jesus did, or just like Jesus would have you do. It may not be furious love, but it can be strong love. Jesus had tender love, and Jesus had tough love. So today, think about your own attitude, perhaps, in all of life and where you are. Jesus made this statement about a sign, and it refers to a sign that's going to occur down the road. But Jesus said, when they were asking for a sign, he said, we'll tear down this temple, and I will raise it back up in 3 days. And they all said, looking at the temple around there, whoa, it took 46 years to build this temple. It was a rebuilt from before. And the disciples knew that Jesus wasn't referring to that physical temple. he was referring to his body that he would shortly give on the cross some 3 years from this time, and that through that act of sacrifice that Jesus would make possible all of our entry into God's heavenly home and around God's table of love. Now, some people will say, well, in John's gospel, this happens here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, right after the wedding feast in Cana in Galilee. In all the rest of the gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it comes at the end of Jesus' ministry on around Palm Sunday there, after the triumphal entry, and Jesus clears out the money changers there. And scholars sometimes spill a lot of scholarly ink, as scholars tend to do, and they'll say, well, maybe John was right. Maybe the Synoptic Gospels were right. Other scholars say, and this is the group I agree with, that it occurred twice. Once at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and once at the end of Jesus' ministry. And why do you say that would be the case? Because Jesus, at the beginning and at the end of his ministry, wanted to say, my house is a house for everyone. All people, all races, nations, people, places are welcome in my house. And to make this statement a reality, Jesus was willing to give his life on the cross that we might be welcome, because it's not because of us, but because of him that we are welcome before God's throne. Today, we will gather around God's table where Jesus does again say, you're welcome in my house, my table, my family, because I love you and my sacrifice has made that possible. I want to close with this thought, which is people have said, it's a tradition, that says God's word can be like three different things, like a light and like a mirror and like sandpaper. And God's word can be like a light that shines in the darkest night and guides our way so we know where we're going. And God's word can be like a mirror that we look at and we see some things in our life where the Holy Spirit still needs to do some work in our life. And then God's word can be like sandpaper, where we have some rough edges and God is still at work sanding us down so that we fall into the image of Christ whom we follow. I think that this passage this morning is all three. Because for most of us, it does light a light in the darkest night and remind us that God's love is the love that makes possible our place around God's table and before God's throne. It's also a mirror that we can look at and say, you know what? There are some things that I need to work at in my life. Maybe I'm not as welcoming as I need to be, and God still has some work. And then it can be like sandpaper, too, because we know that even though we're not arrived yet, the Holy Spirit is still working on us. So this morning, remember that Jesus is not just tender, but Jesus is tough, but he stands up for the right things, that we all have a place in God's house. And that is indeed a comfort for all of us to know that we belong in God's family. But it's a challenge that reminds us that we all need to be welcoming too. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path and so much more. So we pray today as we look at this scripture that you help us to follow you. You'll help us to be reminded that we are all welcome around your table and in your family, and that we need to welcome others even as you would have us. We pray in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.